The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Shaw, CEO of Itaconics. ITX is ticker there. John, thanks for joining me.
Always great to join with you, Justin.
Yeah, well, listen.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good, good to have you on. You just released your final results for the year, ended the 31st December, and some good, very good growth there. Before we get into a bit more detail on what you've achieved last year and where you hope to be in the next few years, just for people maybe not familiar with Itaconics, so don't know what you do, just explain, please, the business, John.
So we're a leading supplier and innovator of plant-based ingredients that are used to improve the performance, safety, and sustainability of everyday consumer products. So we produce these ingredients, make sure they get formulated into the next generation of consumer products, and then sell our ingredients downstream to generate our revenues. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah. And what kind of products, then? Before we get into a bit more detail, what kind of products would your, you know, your chemicals be in, your product be in?
Our biggest areas are in cleaning products, hygiene products, and beauty care. So in cleaning products, we find this in dishwasher detergents, laundry detergents, all-purpose surface cleaners. In hygiene products, you'll find this in everything from air fresheners, carpet cleaners, underarm deodorants, pet shampoos, broad range of areas. And then in beauty, our big area is in hairstyling products for holding your hair in place.
Yeah. So without knowing it, we may be using products and brands, these big brands that are using your polymers, plant-based polymers. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're in 150 brands and growing, both in North America, Europe, and around the world. So we're building up more and more brands are finding the value of our ingredients in their products.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, before we talk about what's to come and what you hope to do and what's the opportunity that lies ahead, let's go back to last year, up to the 31st December 2022. Outline some of the achievements from that year, if you could, John.
Really, we delivered on upgraded expectations for the year. First and foremost is we expanded our addressable market for our technology platform built around itaconic acid. We increased it to $2.3 billion based on the success of our innovation spending in 2021 and early 2022. We added a super absorbent product and some new chemistries and advanced composites and hair care into our product development pipeline. And really, we have seen more further opportunities to capture more of the $20 billion market potential that we see with itaconic acid chemistry support. So increasing the addressable market to aim to be a bigger company. But more importantly, as we delivered on revenues, $5.6 million in revenues, that met upgraded expectations, actually exceeded what the expectations were for us a year from now. We did put out our preliminary revenue numbers in January, so we met the upgraded expectations there. We increased our gross profits and kept our operating expenses in well managed, so we were able to reduce our adjusted EBITDA losses down from 2021. So we kind of heading towards break even adjusted EBITDA on it. And then really exciting, we really did both a small fundraise in the first half of 2022 and then a large fundraise in the beginning of this year. So we really have all the resources we need for our net working capital needs, capital spending, growth initiatives to continue our growth and be well-funded into the future.
Yeah. So you raised gross proceeds at $12.7 million, and that was largely was it no discount, which I hadn't heard of in this market. And just to point out, top-line revenues grew 115% over last year. So it's very impressive. So looking forward then, John, what's the opportunity here, and what's the plan to get there?
So our opportunity really sits around the wonderful aspects of what a great chemistry itaconic acid is. Without getting too much in the too techy about it, it operates in the field with about $20 billion in potential applications all around the safety of it. Relative to how acrylic acid and styrene is used. And Justin, in your everyday life, you're walking by all sorts of products that have acrylic acid and styrene in them in everything you do every day. But the functionality that itaconic acid has and the safety profile, both human and environmental toxicity, is highly favorable. So we see is the ability to bring safer chemicals, safer ingredients to the market, make safer consumer products around our around the potential for itaconic acid of it. And then what the second part of it is that when you look around it, we are in a very rich environment for consumers looking for safer products. There's a lot of concern about what ingredients are being used in everything that you get exposed to. So that that's creating a lot of pressure for more sustainable products, products that don't persist in the environment. And that gives us a very rich environment to find opportunities for us to lead the introduction of a new generation of consumer product in a specific category where we bring better performance, better safety, competitive costs, and sustainability to transform a particular product category. And really, that's what we've done, particularly in the dishwasher detergent area, where we really are transforming the performance and the sustainability of products in that area. And we're going to keep stacking those together with more and more opportunities as we go transform new generations of consumer products.
Yeah. So what is the plan is to what be what, a large like specialty chemicals company, is it?
Yes, with in the overall opportunity, the sandbox we get to play in is the $20 billion worth of applications out there defined about how acrylic acid and styrene is currently used. Within that, we've already have products in our pipeline with a $2.3 billion addressable market. Now we need to perform against that. And the way we have a very well-defined pathway that we follow that's been successful for us is really generated the revenues and success that we have to date. We identify an opportunity. We see an unmet need out there. We develop and refine an ingredient that's going to be a key ingredient for the next generation of a consumer product that's going to meet expectations in that area. We get it out into use. Takes this kind of an ignition phase to get initial use. Then you get a little bit more traction, and then you finally get into a phase of very hyper growth on it. And we're just keep stacking those together where we're a highly valued ingredient. You build out a broad base of uses. That's where the 150 different brands, and then those brands actually get further penetration into the market and continue to grow. Now, our next phase of development, now that we've established ourselves with these kind of revenues and this kind of the success of our formula, is to go after bigger and bigger opportunities. And we're teeing those up right now. One is to go after big opportunities in the hygiene market, where we can bring both our odor neutralization capabilities and our plant-based super absorbent into that area. That's a huge market. These are very large markets to go after. And then we also have a line of specialty materials that can be used to replace acrylates and styrenes in a broad range of resins and coatings. So we have a very strong, solid-based, established business model that's been successful for us. Now we're going to start shooting really that pathway to a large specialty ingredient company by going after bigger and bigger revenue potential on it.
Yeah. And what I can see, look at the broker forecast, top line revenues continued this forecast to grow over 30% next year and close to 50% or 40% the year after. So no lack of growth there. So if you could then, John, for people listening to this and liking the sound of your plans, where you're hoping to go, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Itaconics to their watch list, please.
First of all, it's just how our stage of development we're at in the new phase we're going into. We have established technology. We've de-risked and proven that and validated our technology and our ability to generate revenue growth out of it. So I think we're far less riskier than we looked like a couple of years ago, even though the people who came in there have done very well on it. But if your risk tolerance wasn't there, we look a lot better right now. Second of all is that we have big new horizons to continue to pursue to be that large company, and we have the pieces in place to do it. And I guess that's the third reason is with the funding that we now have in place, we have all the resources we need for the next few years to pursue all these opportunities. So, you know, between, you know, we've de-risked it, we've de-risked and validated what we can do. We have larger horizons to go after, and we have the resources we need to do it. It's a great time to join the journey here. It's going to be a fun time.
Excellent stuff. John, good to chat to you as always, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.